our lives. We can forget what Louisa just shared. We get bogged down in the reality of where we live here on earth, and we can forget how God sees us. And so in the midst of your days, maybe you would begin to ask the Lord to remind you of that. That you are a royal priesthood. That you are a chosen people. Not because of your race or your age or your gender. Not because you attend Gateway, but because you belong to Jesus. That you are chosen. This morning, I want to, before we get into the message, I want to remind us of kind of our focus for this season. And we started off first Sunday in January, a call to humility, a call to prayer, a call to seeking the Lord and to holiness, but not external rules and regulations, but the idea of a transformed life. The idea of righteousness lived out of relationship and intimacy with the Lord. That there was a reminder of things that we know about, but it's a return to simplicity. A focus on Jesus. With an understanding that yes, there might be other messages in the mix that are a little off topic. But when you boil them all down, it's about prayer and seeking the Lord. So with that, I want to encourage you to come Sunday mornings early. The prayer room is open from 8 o'clock on. You can come in while the worship team is practicing and spend time in prayer if you're able to. I know sometimes with children it's hard to get here early, but encourage you to come and just spend some time praying corporately, praying for others who might be here. Encourage you to come out Monday evenings. And understanding that from January 6th, actually right up until the last Sunday of March, the focus here is going to be prayer. And Sunday mornings is going to be prayer. Encouraging to come out corporately on Mondays. There'll be a time frame where we have 21 days of a consecutive prayer. An hour time slot. Different times each day. Maybe a morning. So Sunday morning prayer would be considered. Monday evening prayer. Maybe there'd be some lunchtime prayer time so that I understand in the busyness of life and work that you can't physically come to 21 days straight of prayer, but you will be able to come to some. So that's where we're going this next little while. We know, I know that you pray. Pray at your home, pray as you drive, maybe pray at work on your lunch breaks, pray without ceasing the best you can. But it's the idea of coming together corporately. So just be mindful of that. I encourage you to maybe step out a bit. 2 Chronicles, again, just a reminder. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, my God-defined people, so think about how Louisa just brought out of Peter, how God defines us. My people, my God-defined people, if they respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked lives, I'll be ready to hear and ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. And we looked at it. We looked at three things. Because you can look at that scripture in many different ways. With understanding specifically and out of context. Not out of context, but in context. We looked at three things: holiness, hunger, and humility. Humility, it brings us back to this idea that without the Lord, we're lost. Without His grace, we are morally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically bankrupt. That's what humility does. It's not a woe is me, I'm horrible. It's not a I really suck, the Lord should beat me. It's not that kind of stuff. It's the idea that says, Lord, without you I am nothing. I need you. I can't survive without you. I can't be who you've called me to be, and I can't even be who I am on this planet without you. It's that idea of humility. It remembers that we're in need of him all the time. And we looked at the fact that pride is the opposite of humility. That pride destroys. It destroys relationships. It destroys friendships. It destroys workplaces. It's something that exalts yourself above somebody else. It's the kind of thing that exalts yourself to try and actually go, I know better than God. And again, as a reminder, pride says, I have all the answers. I know what's best. It tells God, I've got this. I don't need your help. I don't need anybody else's help. I can do this. Pride hides behind a mask and doesn't let anyone see brokenness or weakness because you go, I can't let anybody see the things I go through. Pride does that. Humility welcomes people in through the journey, the process of being transformed and conformed to the image of Jesus. Pride doesn't confess any wrongdoing, doesn't confess sin to the Lord or confess to others. Pride studies scripture only to tear down. It demands respect. It puffs up. It looks at self. It tries to impress. And so again, these are all the opposite things of humility. Pride says, I deserve. Humility says, I will serve regardless of how I feel. We need to keep this in mind as even as we continue till the end of March. And hopefully even beyond that. Because really, humility is key to intimacy with the Lord. It's key to relationship. It's key to honoring those around us. Even if we sometimes don't agree with everything that's done, it's something that is key. And it's not something that can be forced. I can't say, you better be more humble. Because that's kind of arrogant. We're all in that process of allowing the Lord to shape us and mold us. And so we looked at humility and then we looked at hunger. And there was this idea that hunger is meant to be continual. Just like in reality, in our real daily physical lives, hunger is something that is every day. You feel hungry. There are certain chemicals at work and your body needs food, but it's continual. And there's this idea and understanding that continual hunger is met when we make a choice to pursue the Lord. He can't make us choose him. He can't make us pursue him. He can't force us to do things that require us to have free choice and free will to come and maybe surrender stuff or sacrifice our time. Or he can't and he won't force us. We have to desire to seek his face. His face. And Natalie, because we preach together, Natalie suggested that we can learn how to do that together corporately as we come together to pray. That we can learn because we can discipline ourselves, just like you would if you're trying to eat healthy or go to the gym. You can discipline yourself to come, to gather corporately. That we have to make a conscious choice to prioritize prayer because it brings accountability. It fosters vulnerability. It can help bring unity because if we gather with a focus on Jesus and not on whether you like somebody else's way of praying or not, or whether you've come because you want to tell somebody that they're not living right, that's not the focus. The focus is to come together to worship Jesus and to pray. Natalie also mentioned that sometimes it can be easy to gather for selfish prayers. And I'm not talking, like I'm talking about we come just with a me focus. And there's danger in that. I mean, the Lord knows our requests. And we can come to him in our private and come to him in secret and come to him even corporately if need be. But often we come when we just have an issue that we need to have come from our mouth. Does that make sense? Sometimes we pray because we are in need, And so we pursue the Lord because we need something from him, not because we want to just meet with him. And that can't be forced. That can only come from desire of our own hearts to choose to pursue the Lord. In a corporate setting, when we come with a focus on Jesus, we can actually maybe set aside the problems. We can set aside the issues at work. We can set aside those things for a moment to come to seek, to inquire, to listen, to honor the Lord. And this idea of hunger, Natalie also reminded us that if we don't practice, how do we get better at it? If we don't practice together, how can we learn from one another? And that we don't come to fix each other, that we come to seek the Lord. Because with the issues and the struggles and the things, if we focus on them, our focus is in the wrong place. They may still be there, but if we focus on Jesus, those problems sometimes disappear, and sometimes the greatness of our God outweighs any problem, even when it doesn't make sense. We also looked at holiness. Not external rules or regulations or do's and don'ts, but this idea of new attitudes, that we have to adopt new attitudes, that we have to desire to model the character of the Lord. That if we walk humbly, seeking his face and gathering in prayer, that some of those things come more naturally. Because there's nothing natural about them in the sense of we require the Lord to work in us, to walk in humility. And this idea of holiness, it's a righteousness lived out. It's expressed out of relationship with the Lord, out of intimacy with the Lord. So as we continue today, I want to look at the Lord's Prayer. Take a look this morning at part of it and the other part next week, but keeping these things in mind, humility, seeking the Lord, a holiness that's out of intimacy and relationship. You'd keep that in mind. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be mindful. That you'd allow our hearts to be soft, that you would open our ears to hear what you have to say. Lord, that our hearts would always be pliable, that you would be always able to mold them, that we wouldn't harden them because of situations and circumstances. Father, as we look and continue to look at your word today, teach us. Holy Spirit, that you would come. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember saying the Lord's Prayer in school. So I'll be 42 in July. And I remember saying, growing up in Creston, might have been grade one, grade two, we said the Lord's Prayer, I think every day, maybe every other day. Depends where you grew up. There was times by that time, I don't know what year it is, or was, I mean, because it's 2020 right now. But I remember saying that. I know Bruce, every time there's a home game, he prays that with the hockey team. He reads a line, they repeat after him. Some of them have it memorized, but he still reads it line by line and they repeat. And most of us either have some version of it memorized, we know it, it's familiar, but often we rattle it off like the alphabet. Does that make sense? Because it's just, if you learned it, it just kind of comes out. And sometimes maybe we don't take time to slow down and take a look at the 50 words or so that are contained there. So that's what I hope to do. This is more of an overview to start us into a series on prayer. But Jesus didn't leave us a list of do's and don'ts. Often we can turn them into do's and don'ts. He didn't leave the disciples on their own to fumble through life and figure things out. Not only was he with them physically, the Holy Spirit was poured out the day of Pentecost. The Helper came. He's with us now. But he also taught them how to pray. Not only through the Lord's Prayer, but other times and in his lifestyle, he taught the disciples how to pray. And by extension, that's who we are too, disciples. We're not just churchgoers. We're not meant to just be converts. We're disciples who are supposed to make disciples. We struggle with that in North America. But that's a different sermon. The first part of the Lord's Prayer is it's concerned with honoring the Lord, honoring his kingdom. The other half of the Lord's Prayer is corporate concerns or individual needs. But often we reverse it. We come to the Lord with all of our requests. We come to him with all of our needs, corporately or individually, and then we honor him. And the way that Jesus modeled that, it was the opposite. And that can be a challenge if we're used to coming to the Lord with our lists. Some say, in my studies, some of those who looked at the Lord's Prayer said that it was like a template, solely a template. You take the principles in the Lord's Prayer and then you pray. Others view it as something that you say it as it's written and it's powerful as it's written and you don't add to it. There are others who go, well, it's actually both. And I'm more inclined to look at it in both ways, but the early church, the church fathers, sometimes a little bit removed from the actual time of the apostles and disciples, be handled incorrectly. They felt it was something that couldn't be handled incorrectly. They were encouraged, the church was encouraged 3 times a day to recite the Lord's Prayer. They were encouraged after extensive teaching, communion, baptism, then they were allowed to say the Lord's Prayer at their first communion. So there was a seriousness around the Lord's Prayer. Regardless, it's a model for us. And the other prayers that the Lord gives us are models for us to learn from, to understand that they're outlines that connect us to the Lord, that empower us to accomplish great things in his strength and in his wisdom. The thing is, the disciples, they asked for a prayer. And Jesus did what he often did, and he took something familiar and he changed it so that they understood it was from him. Just like the Shema, it's called, in Deuteronomy. The one that says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." That idea, Jesus took that idea. And in Mark, he says the most important commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. So Jesus often did that, things that were familiar, things that were understood by the Jewish culture, and he changed them. He fulfilled them. And so this idea of love God and love others, it's the basis for everything that we are. It's the fulfillment of the law. You can't have one without the other. You can't love God and not love people. Loving God, out of that flows loving people. And we struggle with that. Sometimes we get that mixed up too. Not just us here. I just mean us as followers of Jesus, right across the world. But something that Jesus did, or at least it looks that way, as he took a Jewish prayer, something that these men would have heard and known. It's called the Kaddish or Kaddish. starts like this: glorified and hallowed be God's great name throughout the world, which he has created according to his will. May he establish his kingdom in your lifetime and during your days and within the life of the entire house of Israel speedily and soon. There's echoes of the Lord's Prayer in there. Whether or not Jesus took that prayer and molded it and basically added the love God and love others to it, it's hard to say. Scripture doesn't say that, but this is a familiar thing. It's worded in a similar way. The disciples would have heard Jesus go when they say, teach us to pray, and he would have said, okay, well, this is familiar to you. Let's bring it to the heart of the matter. Because Jesus always brought it to the heart of the matter. Really, he brought it to the fact that without him, we couldn't live it. Always. You've heard it said, but I say. Jesus always took real life situations, things that were familiar, and taught his disciples how to live, how to pray, how to minister. The Lord's Prayer, it sums up the way things ought to be prayed. Not about me and my needs, but about God and others. So not about me and my needs, but about God and others. I'm just going to read it. It's the New Living Translation, so if you have a different one memorized, sorry. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Often in an individually focused culture like we live in, sometimes we move away from the us focus to the me focus. We kind of have to fight against that. I do. I don't know if you do too. We have to. Well, we'll get there. The Lord's Prayer is a return to simplicity. In Luke 11:1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So, I mean, they've already been with Jesus. They've seen some of the miraculous things going on. They've heard him pray. They've heard him calm storms. They've seen things go on. And they still have to ask, Lord, teach us to pray. And then in Matthew, I'll read it again. He says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. There are many different, I'll say different ways of looking at the Lord's Prayer. There are many different things that maybe are focused on in the Lord's Prayer, but for the sake of this morning, I'm going to look at four points, four things. Sometimes we can forget the simplicity of it. So first of all, if you have your outline, it's in there. It's we can connect with God relationally. I know that sounds simple, but it's meant to be. We can connect with God relationally. Our Father in heaven. The Jewish people, the men there, they would have understood God as the Father of Israel, the Father of the nation. But it would have been a very foreign concept for them to understand that God was their father, their personal father. It would have been really strange for them. And so Jesus, it's not the fact that God isn't, you know, Elohim, high and lifted up, the one who comes in majesty. And Jesus brings them back to this understanding that he's their father. There's understanding that Jesus may have even used the word or understanding of Abba in that. So these grown men would have been able to see the intimate relationship that Jesus had with his father, that Jesus didn't just have with his father for fun. It was so that they could also see that they too could have an intimate relationship with their Abba. In our culture concept, that would be daddy. It feels even strange saying that from my lips. But that's the context. That's the idea that these men could suddenly connect with their creator relationally. He was their father. That not only that, one author put it this way, because it's a groundbreaking in their understanding of things. This just changed everything. One commentary puts it this way. It says, "We're climbing into the lap of the builder of galaxies, stroking his cheek and making our requests." I remember the first time that the Lord gave me a revelation of that. It was shortly after I got saved. I was 20 years old, 315 pounds. And I remember I was praying one time and the Lord just showed me his strong arms. And he had me held, like not in a death squeeze, but like a bear hug. It was strange because it had nothing to do with the sermon. We were just praying and they were saying, ask the Lord to show you part of his character. And again, as a young adult, big guy, the Lord wrapped his arms around me, said, "I love you, son. Nobody can take that away from me." But I pray that you also, regardless of how long you've been here, how long you've been maybe serving the Lord, that he would reveal that to you. Because you can come to him relationally, intimately. That you can know him, because he's not interested in us practicing religion. He's interested in us pursuing intimacy with him. Again, what that looks like in my own life compared to your life might be different in how I do that. But there are pretty clear explanations in Scripture that show how I can engage the Lord. Yeah, I'm not. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. We've been adopted as his children. He loves us to call him Father. He loves us even if we are older. Even if you're sitting here and you're an older man and that feels foreign to you, Jesus desires for you to know him. God desires you to know him as Father. And not compared to your own earthly father. Because our earthly fathers are not perfect, just like we aren't. And they do things that aren't good sometimes. And yet the Lord is perfect and loving and merciful. It would do us good as we start out our prayer times to acknowledge that intimacy. To acknowledge that place of relationship that we have with our Father in heaven. To understand that we have been adopted into his family, that we are children of God. It really is a powerful thing for us. And he delights in it. Romans 8:15 says, "You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father." We get to proclaim our intimate relationship with him. We get to call him Daddy. We get to thank him that we're his children. Again, it can be easy to do this. I remember in Romania one time talking about something like this, talking about coming to the Lord with childlike faith, allowing him to be in that intimate place. And I remember there was a teen, older teen, maybe a young adult, and he just sat like this the whole time. He listened to me, he just had a scowl on his face. And before I even finished, he was like out the door. And I asked what was going on, and that guy had been coming to church for a while. It offended him that I asked people to come with childlike faith, to come to the Lord, to allow him to be their father. Don't do that. Don't harden your heart. Allow the Lord that intimate place. Secondly, we can worship his name. Some verses say, "Hallowed be your name." The New Living says, "May your name be kept holy." God loves when we worship him. And there's power in his name. In Scripture, there are 30 or more names and attributes of God. They can actually help us worship him specifically, intentionally, and personally. So in your bulletin, you'll see there's a large piece of paper that's folded in half. It has 30 names and attributes of God. It's not perfect, but it's something that might help you. Again, he's our righteousness. He makes us clean. He is our sanctifier. He's called us and set us apart. He's our healer. He heals all of our diseases. He's our banner of victory. He's defeated our enemies. He is the shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who speaks to us and calls us by name. He's our peace. Our peace in every storm, the peace that goes beyond our own understanding. As Brendan said, I don't even remember what date it was when he preached, but this idea that we have to let go of the whys in order to understand that God's peace comes in and is above and beyond our own understanding. When circumstances don't make sense, when there's sickness and death and illness and other things that happen and things don't make sense, if we let go of the why, God's peace makes sense. He's our provider. He supplies all of our needs. Proverbs 18:10 in the English Standard Version says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." You're safe. You're safe. He loves for you to proclaim his name, to proclaim his attributes. When you pray, be mindful of them. Learn them. Remember them. As you go about your day, remember them. The thing is, when we proclaim who he is, we not only worship him, but we remind ourselves of how powerful he is. We remind ourselves of how great he is. We remind ourselves of the things that he has done in the past and will do again. I heard the other day, there was somebody sharing about how they were struggling to pray and they were falling asleep and different things, and the Lord reminded them to read their journal. And so in reading their journal, there was this sudden awakening because they realized how faithful and good God was, and their prayer time was suddenly focused because they were able to worship him, be reminded of the things that God has done. That the Israelites were called to go, and they would set up something called an Ebenezer. Eben, or Evan, but Eben is Hebrew for stone. They were stone things, stone pillars. They would set them up so that there was a reminder whenever they traveled that God had met them there. that God was their provider, that God was their the one who brought defeat to their enemies, that there was deliverance, that this reminded them of God's loving kindness. Again, be mindful. Proclaim his names. Again, the Lord's Prayer, the focus, the first is honoring the kingdom, honoring God. Honoring the fact that we are chosen. And again, sometimes we flip it. We come to him first with our requests. And he loves us and he desires us. But maybe we should flip it. Thirdly, we can pray his agenda first. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know that there might be many ways of looking at this. Simplest way is that being a child of God, allowing our hearts to be transformed and molded and shaped, that our cares are his cares. When I first became a Christian, there were certain things that I was concerned about and cared for that weren't the Lord's. I also, at that time, wasn't very merciful. Didn't like people telling me what to do. Didn't like authority. I didn't like police officers. I didn't want to be in the military. I wanted to hurt people. And the Lord saved me, and that took a while for me to walk through that stuff. The train left the tracks. I don't know where that thought was going. Praying his agenda first. Those things that I desired, the Lord began to work in my heart and change my desires, so that they were no longer selfish or carnal or sinful. Does that make sense? Being a child of God, we can learn to care for the things he cares for. We know his will is perfect. We can acknowledge his perfect wisdom, his sovereignty, and we can pray his agenda. Luke 12:31 in the Living Bible, it says, he will always give you all you need from day to day if you will make the kingdom of God your primary concern. We can spend time when we pray focused on what God is focused on. So I have some priorities. Again, it's not limited to these. Scripture is filled with a lot of other things. There are things the Lord can direct you to pray for, concerns that are dear and near to his heart. But Jesus came to seek and save the lost. God desires that no one would perish. First priority is praying for those who don't know Jesus. Last week, Chris reminded us that the cross will stay up there. If you have other names of people that you want to pray for, it's not just to stick them up here and forget about them. It's to pray for them, to remember them by name, and to actually pray that God would use you to talk to them about how Jesus has impacted your life, to share how God's goodness has been evident in your life, even if your life looks like a mess where God has come in and intervened. But we can pray. And pray for those who don't know Jesus that they would know him. That their eyes would be open, that the scales would fall off and they could see clearly. We can pray for wisdom and guidance for those in authority, both in our households, in our school systems, in our government systems, in our church. We can pray for those in authority. not just for our own country, for other countries, praying for even those, like I've said before, in North Korea, praying that, in a situation like that, praying that God would intervene, and that their dictator would come to know Jesus. But that's part of God's will. We can also pray that we would accomplish His purpose in our lives. Again, we've talked about it many times. We have a general calling. Love God and love others. Nobody gets to escape that. We have individual callings. We have callings that are related to our gifting, to our places of work, where God has set us, our spheres of influence. But we can pray that we would accomplish His purpose. At the same time, in all of it, we remember in humility that we are poor in spirit, that we're in constant need of Him, so that we are able to say, help me when I'm doing well, not to build my own kingdom. We're able to come regularly before the Lord and say, not my will, Lord, but yours. Not my kingdom, but yours. May my kingdom go and yours come. That we're able to do that. Not in some type of religious structured order, but remembering before the Lord that we need Him. And that He is our daddy. And fourthly, we can depend on Him for everything. Give us this day our daily bread. Again, God promises to supply all of our needs. Individually, corporately, family. Not just financially, but the needs that we have. As a needy people. Our problems, our needs, our desires. But we have to be able to come, and we can depend on Him, but we have to come and say, here, Lord, I trust You. Because it is easy to say, here, Lord, I don't know if I trust You to work this, though. It can be easy to kind of give the Lord our desires and our needs and our wants and the things that we work through, and then for us to kind of pick them back up and go, I don't know if He's moving fast enough. I think I need to do this. The disciples were needy people. We are a needy people. King David was a needy person. It's okay to be needy. It's okay to need the Lord in all things in order to even make it through the day. It's okay. In Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, the idea for this verse, it's with the understanding of continual. So it'd be the Lord would give them, continually give each day what is needed. Kind of like manna from heaven. There's a continual, each day the Lord will provide what is needed. In Matthew, the word is a little different. There's an urgency behind it that says, give now our daily bread. Give now our daily bread. We need it now. Without it, we will not survive. So one is not right and one is not wrong. It's just the way it is. Luke writes a little differently. This idea of continual and constant, the Lord will look after us and provide for us even when things seem down and low and difficult. But also in the urgency. For the disciples, it would appear like Jesus was teaching them, without the Lord, you don't have a next meal. Either way you want to look at that, it's getting into our hearts and our minds that the Lord is the one who provides, not our own hand. The Lord is the one who provides. Psalm 121 says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Again, we are a needy people, and that is okay. Ask God what you need. Write Write down the concerns on your mind. Write down the things that you need. Write in a journal if you can. Give him the things that you desire, the desires of your heart. Write them down. Hand them over to him because he is trustworthy. Problems can either be ours or God's. They can't be both. Did that make sense? Problems can either be ours or God's. With understanding that the Lord is the one who provides. When Natalie and I adopted Zachary and brought him home, and, you know, right out of the hospital, 10 days, him being a BC-born child and us being Alberta residents at the time meant that there was no funding, no nothing. When we went back to Lethbridge, and I came with the paperwork from the courthouse in Kelowna, they looked at it and they said, where'd you get these? And they had a secret meeting in the hallway and they came back and said, there's no case here. We don't need to be involved in your life. Have a nice life. And I thought that was a good thing at the time. But it was a very challenging time. Because it sent us in a place where Natalie had just gotten a full-time permanent position at the regional hospital in Lethbridge. Like seven night shifts, 2 days off, 6 day shifts, 3 days off. Like this was the rotation, 5 week rotation, full-time position. Because we were not adopted parents yet, there was no parental leave, no EI, and I had to take a month off of work at the church. But it came to the end of the month and they were like, either you come back to work or we will have to let you go. Which at the time made me feel like I said, popping somebody in the nose. Because I'm like, we have a child who can't go into day. Natalie couldn't go take a leave or any of that kind of stuff. And so it happened, it worked out. We were able to get Zach into daycare and we got child subsidy and all that kind of stuff because he went to the same daycare as Amberlynn, our middle child. And it was financially, it was difficult. It was frustrating. No help from the government, no help from the church. Nobody was able to come alongside and we survived. And then the Lord called us here. And we started the adoption process in Lethbridge. But when we first went to them, it was over $300 an hour, closer to $400 an hour. And they said this could be anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000. And I was like, oh, okay. So we walked away a little defeated, thinking we've been denied parental time with our son. We don't have the money to start the adoption. We need to save some funds. And God miraculously provided the $1,000 that Natalie and I had said. We need $1,000 to start the process. And out of nowhere, the Lord spoke to somebody. $1,000 came in. We started the process. We went back to the lawyers. And when we went back, they had ceased hourly billing, had a flat rate of $2,000 for the adoption. And so, you know, gave them $1,000, put a payment plan in. The adoption was approved in April of 2015 when we started the process of coming here. By that time, Zach's almost two. No parental leave, no back funding, no nothing. And we move here and Natalie has to quit her full-time job to come here for my role. She's explaining to them during the time at the EI, and they say, well, just phone this number, try one more time. And in doing that, Natalie was approved for a full 52 weeks of EI with parental leave. That came into effect September of 2015 when we moved here. And then we got back pay for other things that happened. That if I had frustratingly forced a resignation for my wife to stay home and for me to work, we would have had to foreclose on our house in Lethbridge, and we probably wouldn't have survived it very well. It's not always about finances. But I'll tell you, when we were going through that, it was like, I don't know how we're going to do this, Lord. Only you know. It doesn't make sense. I grieved not having proper parental time with Zach. We were frustrated that the government in BC said one thing and the one in Alberta said another, and that there was like interprovincial fighting and it just foolishness. And yet the Lord was behind all of it, knowing what was needed, what was necessary. The Lord provides our needs, big and small. We're called to pray. To pray together, to pray at home, to pray without ceasing, to pray in secret, to pray corporately. Prayer is participatory. It requires us to listen to the Lord, to speak to Him, and to speak out loud. So again, I encourage you, as we start this next journey through prayer, to come out to the prayer times. Come early to prayer on Sunday mornings. Come be in here during worship if you can. Come on Monday evenings if you're not working or you're able to. I just encourage you to come. When we do the 21 days of prayer, as much as you're able to, come. It'll be an hour a day. Again, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. It's working. That was an awesome word, Pastor. I'm just going to be vulnerable and share my heart for a minute, because this is just obedience. I love the Lord's Prayer. I've just gone through a season in my life where I had in my bedroom a big plaque. I had the Lord's Prayer on this beautiful cherry wood with it. Paid a lot of money for this thing. And I got so angry in the course of this journey that I've been on with the Lord, I took that thing and I took it out of my driveway and I smashed it on the ground. I hit a bottom that I can't describe. But here's what happened. My family and my few of my friends know what I've been going through. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. I'm telling you, here's what happened. What I love about the Lord's Prayer is the first six words. My Father, who art in heaven. Maybe it's more than six. Hallowed be thy name. My Father, you are awesome, and I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you. And what happened? For the last 12 days, I've been on my face worshiping my Father. And he revealed himself to me. I've seen the face of the Father. Again, I've been down this road, and I forget. I'm a stubborn guy. And there he is in his grace and his mercy and his amazing love. He's just been loving me. I had no idea how good he is. I had no idea. I thought I knew. And he's been speaking sonship into me. And I'm telling you, if you want to know Jesus, go to the Father. Jesus himself said, I've come to reveal the Father. If you don't know that your Father in heaven loves you, if you haven't had that encounter, I'm going to pray for you all. I know now that all I have to be a son. I get up every morning now and I say, Father God, the most precious thing that I have in my life, the most precious thing, there's nobody in here that owns anything, or there's nothing in the universe more precious than my ability to wake up in the morning and say, Father God, I get to walk with you today. Jesus restored that lost thing. I'm absolutely wrecked, and the whole reason I'm here is at the beginning of the service, we talked about Gary Pringle and his need, and it's like, I almost exploded. Here we are as his family, and this isn't like, come on people, this is like, God, I need to pray for that man. As a son, we go home and pray for Gary, but right now as a family, let's pray for Gary. I'm a son. Give me this day. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. That means I've got all of heaven behind me. I'm a son. It's where I'm from. That's my inheritance. And it says, release the kingdom of heaven. So I'm going to release the kingdom of heaven right now. So Father, I thank you for this amazing opportunity to be your son. Today I get to let you father me. Today I get to just let you turn me more into like being like Jesus. And there's probably nobody in this room that needs it more than me. But I've seen the face of my Father and I'm not the same guy. So Lord, I lift up Gary Pringle to you right now. We just took communion and we stand on your word by your broken body. We just speak life into his body. I ask you, Holy Spirit, right now in your power and in your glory and in your fire to fall on him right now in your healing presence to touch him, God. We thank you that he is healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And that's just the way it is, Gary. Your time is not up. You have spoken words of the Lord that have not come to fruition. This is not your time. So I stand on the word of God after taking communion and say, his body's not in alignment with the word of God. And that's not right. And I'm not taking it anymore. And this isn't, I don't know if this is disturbing you, I don't care. I don't apologize. This isn't arrogance. This isn't pride. I've seen the face of God. I'm a son and I know what I'm here to do. Not here, on this earth. I get it now. I embrace every prophetic word. I know why I'm here. And I'm not sitting down anymore. My enemy, I'm just declaring it right now, he's woke up a giant. And I'm telling you, you're all giants. So anyways, Father, we just thank you for Gary Pringle, God. We thank you for healing, God. We thank you for what he offers this body. We thank you, God, that everything that has not been fulfilled in his life that's been promised is going to be fulfilled because you are the great I am and your promises are yes, yes. There's no in-between ground. And Father, I thank you for this place. I thank you for the words that have been spoken. I thank you, God, when we see your face, when we encounter you, Father, all the things that hinder the growth of personal lives in this church will just crumble. I speak life over this place in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for every person here. Corporately, that this week they would see your face, God, that they would go home and just simply sit in a chair and say, Father, who am I to you? I'm telling you right now, in Jesus' name, I hear the Lord saying he will meet you there. We've heard this in church. I'm telling you, today's a new day. I'm telling you that in this time, the Lord is doing things. He's answering prayers that have been asked for years. We've heard all this before. I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. It's true. So I pray for every person in here, God, that they would encounter you powerfully this week. And I do. I am a guy that believes in impartation. I can't just lay my hands on you and give to you what the Lord gave to me. But you know what I can do through impartation? I can plant that seed that you are responsible to take home and grow and water. I can't make this happen for you, but I know the power of the testimony. So I have friends that I trust. Whatever. If you know that you know the Father, come up here and pray for people. This isn't about me, but I will pray for you. If that's okay, Pastor. So, Father, I bless every heart in this place today. There's a presence of God coming upon this place. Slumber and complacency will not be able to live. The fear of the Lord is coming back to the house of God. Holiness and righteousness is coming back to the house of God. I prophesy it over this place. I prophesy it over every life in here. I prophesy it over everybody that's not here today. It doesn't matter where you are. I declare it in Jesus' name. And I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. And you know that you know, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the enemies that don't really like me right now. I don't care. I don't care. I raise a hallelujah because my God, Jesus' mighty name.
Carson, can you? This morning, as they play, if you would like prayer, please come up. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. If you just want to be here, you can, but may the Lord bless you this morning. May he keep you. May his face shine on you. That this week would be a new beginning for you. That you may sense his sonship. Whether you're a man or a woman in that sense. And the scriptural unson, the idea that you belong to him. The things that Rick just shared. The things going on that you belong to him. No matter what you're going through, that you may know, that you may know, that you know, that you know, that you belong to him. Again, if you need prayer, come. If you need to go, have a great week.